Well, I don't know if there's any more exciting Sunday than a Sunday where somebody makes their profession of faith public by becoming baptized. That's an exciting day, and that's something to get excited about, and that's something to give Jesus praise about. And I want to encourage all of you. I know for sure, I can look at you, if I could see every one of you in your eye and meet face to face with you, I can tell you for sure, without a shadow of a doubt, I know what your next step is if you have given your life to Jesus and you haven't been baptized. It's to get baptized. And I would say, don't wait 11 years to do it, right? Give your life to Jesus. And then the very next thing that Jesus calls us to do is to get baptized. We're having a baptism class in just 2 weeks on the 27th. We invite you to come and be a part of that and just learn what baptism is all about so you can make this informed decision and follow Jesus in your next step of being baptized. Well, if you don't know, my name is Rick, and I get to be this pastor of this new church called Hope Church, and I'm excited about that. Some of you got your shirts on, and we're so excited. It already opened up an opportunity for me to be able to share with people about why we changed our name and got to talk about the hope that we have, this living hope inside of us. And I hope that you were this week, you know, last week I challenged you to go to bed every night and ask yourself, did you live as a person of hope today? I hope that you did that, because it really is. I found myself asking myself that question throughout the day, and it's just a real good course corrector for me. Am I living as a person of hope right now? And I'm trusting that you will find yourself living in that habit and watch how it changes your life. Well, we're going to continue our teaching series called Won't You Be Our Neighbor? And as you know, Mr. Rogers, he cared about teaching preschool kids to love their neighbor. But he also introduced them to their responsibility to love their neighbor, not just those who they cross paths with, but even their global neighbors. Do you know that he would show up on his shows teaching them French? I guess Mr. Rogers was fluent in French, and he would say all these French words, and then they'd have somebody explain what this French word means. And he would do that. He would introduce kids to other cultures. Why? Because we have a responsibility to love even our global neighbors. And this really blew my mind, because you got to realize when this is. In 1987, Mr. Rogers gets invited to Russia, the USSR. Now, come on, if you were alive in the 1980s, right? One of your favorite movies was Red Dawn, right? With Patrick Swayze, you know, and the Russians come over to take over the U.S. And he's in school. Patrick Swayze's in school, and it happened in somewhere in the hills of Colorado, right? And that was me. I grew up in the hick town of Indiana, and I just found myself in that story, you know? And so I was just captivated by this. And in my mind, that's what I thought about as Russia, the communism. And in 1987, the Berlin Wall is still up. There's still a separation between East and West Germany. It was like torturing people who would try and escape. And yet, Mr. Rogers gets invited to Russia to be a part of their television children's programming so that he can come and share this message, love your neighbor. If Mr. Rogers can take this message, how much more should the Christ follower be concerned about making sure the message of that God loves our local neighbor, but he loves our global neighbor as well. So, as followers of Christ, we have a responsibility to our neighbors, both locally and globally. Today, we're kind of focusing, we're switching our focus to not just those people that we cross paths with, but to our neighbors in a global perspective. And so to do that, let's go to Luke chapter 18. Will you take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 18? In Luke chapter 18, this is going to help us to understand our responsibility. That we have a global responsibility for our global neighbors. Now, here's the bottom line, if you will. Following Christ means demonstrating God's heart, not mine, to all of my neighbors, even my global neighbors. And I want us to think about this. When we say Christ means demonstrating God's heart, if we're going to call ourselves a Christ follower, a disciple of Jesus, then it means that we need to demonstrate the heart of God to people that we do cross paths with, but also to our global neighbor. And this sounds so unachievable, but I want us to be reminded of this. On the days that I don't get this right, I get a new start tomorrow. But here's the point, but I must never give up. We can't give up. We got to keep on pursuing this global, the heart of God, which is God's kingdom. And that's where Luke chapter 18 comes in. So in Luke chapter 18, we're going to look at these first eight verses, but we have to remember, or we have to realize the context. Why are these eight verses here? Well, they're there because of chapter 17. And in chapter 17 and verse number 20, there is a question that is asked. A question from the Pharisees. The Pharisees ask this very important question. Now, again, Pharisees are people who believe in God and who are trying to check off all the boxes of following God. And it says in chapter 17, verse number 20, it says, one day the Pharisees asked Jesus, and here's the question, when will the kingdom of God come? When will the kingdom of God come? This is an important question. In fact, I want you to say this question with me. And those of you at our South County site, I want you to say this question with me. In fact, our camera operators have headphones on and they can hear you through those headphones. And we want to be able to let them just like pull them off. No, they really can't hear you. I'm just kidding. But we do want you to say this question with us. As I count to three here in this room, our South County site, we want you to say this question with us. Can we say it together on three? One, two, three. When will the kingdom of God come? That's the question. How many times over the past 12 months did you ask that question? I know I ask that question a lot from a selfish motive. In fact, when I was prepping for this, I called Justin into my office and I confessed my sin. I said, Justin, look at this. The Pharisees are asking this question, when's the kingdom of God going to come? And I wonder how much of that was a selfish motive. It was a question motivated by self. It was selfishly motivated. They wanted the kingdom of God to come because they wanted a place. They wanted a place at the seat where they were going to be a part of the ruling kingdom, because this is a promise that God had made to the Jewish people. The Pharisees were Jewish, and this is a promise that he had made to them, that you are going to be my people, and one day I'm going to come and I'm going to rule, and when that day comes, you are going to rule with me. They were looking for their place of power and position. They were tired of being oppressed. Come on. The context is that the Roman, for hundreds of years, if it wasn't the Roman government, it was other governments who were oppressing the Jewish people. And they were tired. And over this past 12 months, there were weeks and months, I was just tired. And I wanted just to tap out. So I'll say, I'm done. I don't want to face what the day has ahead of me. I don't want to face what the week has ahead of me. I'm tired of all this COVID craziness. I'm tired of all the anger coming from everywhere. And you can't make any decision that makes anyone happy. Everybody's just angry and mad. God, can you just come back? Take me out of here. Remember the commercial, Calgon, take me away, right? But that's what I felt like so many times. Just get me out of here. So, God, would you just come back? Selfishly motivated. You know what I realized in my office this week? Rick, you're so stinking worried about your little 75 or 85 years that you have here. Can you get a global kingdom perspective here, Rick? I had to confess. Say, God, I'm sorry. I don't know if you've ever felt like that, but I certainly have. And Jesus, when he's asked this question, when will the kingdom of God come so we don't have to be in this situation anymore, so that we don't have to be in this financial situation anymore, so that all these troubles and all this pain and just the whatever's going on, so it can just be over. Jesus, just come back. When will the kingdom of God come? Jesus replied, the kingdom of God can't be detected by visible signs. You won't be able to say, oh, here it is, or it's over there. Why? Because they were looking for a specific king to come in on his horse with his army and set up shop in some city and say, here's the kingdom of God, and wipe out every other enemy that they had. That's what they're looking for. And Jesus is like, no, it's not like that. Then he says this, for the kingdom of God is already among you. What? This is like, why? What do you mean? That doesn't even make sense. We're not in a place of position or power. We're still being oppressed. Yeah, the kingdom of God is already among you. And there stood the king ruler. And they didn't even recognize him. They had been doing the work, the kingdom of God. They had been going from city to city. We saw this in the past couple of weeks. They'd go from one city to the next city, showing up, bringing the message of the kingdom of God as they met people's needs right where they were at. Now, we get to chapter 18. And in chapter 18, the story just basically continues, or Jesus continues, but now his focus is on the disciples. And the rest of chapter 17, Jesus focuses on the disciples as they were asking about kingdom questions. But he continues this conversation, and in chapter 18, in verse number 1, one day Jesus told his disciples a story. So this story that Jesus was sharing is known as a parable, and a parable always has a spiritual meaning. It's an illustration. Jesus is telling a story to get across a specific spiritual point. And so one day Jesus told his disciples a story to show that they should always pray and never give up. That they should always pray and never give up. So that's why he's going to tell this story. He's telling them this story because he wants them to continue to pray for the kingdom of God to come. And don't you give up. When it gets hard and you feel oppressed, don't you give up. You continue to bring the kingdom of God. You continue to show up in other communities, and you continue to bring it to a global world. And you pray like crazy. That's why he tells this story. And so, here's the story. There was a judge in a certain city who neither feared God nor cared about people. So here's this judge, this person, this man with position, power, had authority, had what he wanted, but he didn't care about God. Because he didn't care about God, he certainly didn't care about people. But then there's this widow. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly. Now this widow, isn't it interesting? And in this story, the widow is going to become the hero of the story. A widow in their context was the oppressed, was the least of these, was like, they were a woman who had no spouse to help provide. A woman had no place in this world. And Jesus uses this woman as the hero of the story as he teaches the spiritual lesson. A widow of that city came to him repeatedly saying, give me justice in this dispute with my enemy. And the judge ignored her for a while. But finally, he said to himself, I don't fear God or care about people. Let me just pause right here for a second, because I wonder how many of you online or at our South County site, or even right here in this room, how many of you would be honest with yourself in the heart of your hearts, you don't really have a healthy fear of God. you don't really have a healthy fear of God or a love for God. And as a result of that, because of that, you don't like people. Right? I mean, you have a really hard time loving people. You have a really hard time putting up with people. You have a hard time dealing with those hard to love kind of people. You know what the Apostle John tells us about that? The Apostle John said this in 1 John in chapter 4 in verse number 7. He says, "Dear friends, let us continue to love one another. For love comes from who? From God. Love comes from God. And anyone who loves is a child of God and knows God." Not that you know facts about Him. You're not just learning stuff about God intellectually. No, you know Him. Why? How? Because God's transforming love, you have received that love from God. And that love that you have received allows you to love other people. That's how we love those hard to love people, those extra grace required type of people. This is how we do that. And John doesn't stop there. Now, this is John. Don't you get mad at me for saying this. I didn't say this. Here's what John said. "But anyone who does not love does not know God." You say, "I'm just not wired for people." Anyone who does not love does not know God. For God is love. God's, the power that God loves you and I with gives you the ability to love other people. Every Christ follower should have this characteristic, is that you love people. Every one of us. I wonder how many of you would be honest enough to say in your heart, "I must not really fear God. I must not have a healthy love of God because I don't love people." On your connection card, that there's the very first next step. It says, "I don't love God and I don't like people." Let's be honest, right? We're talking about being honest. I don't love God. I don't like people. Pray that my heart changes, because that's what needs to happen. You can't make yourself do this. You have to be overcome by the love of God. And that's what changes everything. Would you let us pray for you? We want to pray for you. And if you'd let us pray for you, I wonder if you even wouldn't take the next step and say, "Maybe I just need to trust Christ and to receive that overwhelming love in my life so that I can love people. Even my global neighbors." Maybe what you need to do is text that word trust. We have it right here, trust. If you just text that word trust to our texting number, and then when you get that instant reply, click on the link. Because when it's when you click on that link, that's where you give us your name. And we'll reach back out to you and call you by name and walk you through what it means to accept the love of God in your life and to become overwhelmed by that love so that you can love God and that you can love other people. Back in our story. In our story, this judge is like this woman, you know, this lady who won't give up, this widow, the least of these. "But this woman is driving me crazy," he says. "I'm going to see that she gets justice because she is wearing me out with her constant requests." And then the Lord, or Jesus, said, "Learn a lesson from this unjust judge." This is a lesson for all of us who are Christ followers, who call ourselves, you know, disciples of Jesus. This is a lesson for all of us. He says, "Learn this lesson. Even he rendered a just decision in the end, So don't you think God will surely give justice to His chosen people who cry out to Him day and night? Will He keep putting them off? I mean, Jesus is like, hello. I mean, I'm telling you this very simple story, illustration, to point out to you that if this unjust judge who doesn't love God and doesn't even like people, if he will render a just decision in the end, don't you think God will render a just decision in the end if you keep on praying and if you keep on working for the kingdom of God locally and globally? He says, he goes on, he says, I tell you, he will grant justice to them and he'll do it quickly. He'll do it. I mean, this is important because they have been waiting for hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years for this kingdom to come. They've been waiting for God to fulfill this covenant. And in this waiting, they're thinking, is this ever going to, you know, they think this is never going to happen. But Jesus describes it. No, it's going to happen. And in what to you seems like forever, it's really quickly. Jesus is going to come quickly. But listen to this. He says, and here is the point. Why did he tell us in the very beginning of verse number one, don't you stop praying and don't you ever give up working towards the kingdom of God coming locally and globally? Why? Because here's the question. On that day, when Jesus does come back, how many will he find on earth who have faith? That's the point. That's why we work hard. That's why we continue to pray like crazy. That's why we invest everything that we can in this one question. How many people at the end of the day when Jesus does come back, how many is Jesus going to find who have faith? This is why we can't give up. How many on earth, do you catch the global impact here? That Jesus cares about every person from every nation, from every tribe and every tongue. He cares about every one of them on earth. And what God is more concerned about, what Jesus is more concerned about, is how many people on the earth, when he does come back, how many of them are going to have faith? This is why God called us to be a person of hope. This is why He's filled us with hope. And this is why we are supposed to be sharing a message of hope. And we should be investing in that message of hope. And around here, every time you give, a percentage of that goes to help our global partners. Here's why this is so important. When you came in this morning, you should have gotten a hard copy. Whether you're here in this site or if you're in our South County site, both of our sites, you should have received one of these. Pull this out. And on here this represents over $100,000 every year. This is where over $100,000 goes every year. A global investment. Stop and think about how many will he find on earth who have faith? How many? We can say that there are people in Iraq who are finding faith. We can say that there are people in India. There are people in Thailand. There are people in Indonesia. There are people in Vietnam. There are people all literally in our globe, around our globe, that are finding faith because a little church here in Rhode Island is investing in our global neighbors. And that's because of your generosity. Every year, we're making sure that we are sending and that we are praying for and that we are doing everything that we can to be a good global neighbor with what matters the most. How many will find faith on the earth? Do you realize that one of our global partners goes in and rescues women who have been enslaved by ISIS? Do you realize that? I mean, this is mind-blowing. And then they bring the emotional and mental support that they need, but they bring more than that. They bring the overwhelming love of God to those women so that their life can be transformed. from all the hurt and the abuse that has happened in their life. How many on the earth will Jesus find that has faith because you invested? Would you be willing to go on a short-term missions trip? We're having an interest meeting today. Today there's an interest meeting. And you don't even have to leave the United States to invest in the global neighbor. We're just going to Michigan. And there in Michigan are hundreds of thousands that we get to go and serve and demonstrate the love of God to and help global partners who are there, help them to build bridges, to serve these communities so that they can build the relationships and share the Word of God, share the love of Jesus with them. That's what you and I have that opportunity. The trip isn't taking place until October, so you've got time to plan for that. I hope that you will be a part of that meeting and check that out. There's so many ways that we try and remind ourselves that we have a global responsibility to love our neighbor. And today, I'm asking you, will you? Will you take on this responsibility? Will you make it personal for you? And here's on your connection card, the very first next step says this: I am more focused on my own life than I am living out God's kingdom. Pray that God changes my heart and focus. That's what we need. That's what I need. South County, that's what you need. Those of you who are watching from our South County location, you need God to change your heart and your focus. And we here in this room, we need God to change our heart and our focus. Because I fall into this trap and you fall into this trap of thinking that it's all about our 70, 75, 80 years of life. And it's so much bigger than that. It's so much bigger. It's about eternal life, everlasting life, life forever. How many will He find on earth who have faith because you invested? Because of the way that you lived your life. The other next step on there says this: I will commit to praying for 2 global partners per day over the next 10 days. That's where this handout comes in to play. This gives you the date that you can pray for 2 global partners. It gives you a couple of ways to be praying for them over the next 10 days. Will you just take 2 part? That's all we're asking you to do. And hopefully, and what we're praying is that this would become a part of your habit. That you would, once day 10 ends, you flip it over and you pray for them again for another 10 days. And as things change, if you want to know more specifics, all you have to do is email our GO team. Their address is GO, but it's our global team, because they help us as a church stay focused on what's important. And their email is just GO@hoperi.church. Hoperi.church. So it's GO@hoperi.church. If you just email them after these 10 days are over, and they'll keep you updated on how you can be praying every week in your bulletin. There's a specific way for you to pray for a global partner. That's why they're in there, so that you would use that as a resource to pray throughout the week for these global partners. It reminds us of our global responsibility, because we all have it if you're a Christ follower, if you're a disciple of Jesus, because you're supposed to be about the kingdom of God, not your 70, 75, 80, 85 years of life here. It's about life everlasting. It's about how many will Jesus find on earth who have faith. if it's easier for you, just to text. If you're watching online, if it's easier for you to text, if you're here in the room, pull out your phone and just text the word pray to our texting number and let us know how to be praying for you. I'm going to have a prayer for us that God would change us, that we would be different. And then after that, we're going to bring these offerings forward and we're going to dedicate them back to God. Father, first, we come to you, first giving our own lives. Jesus, you called us to live out the kingdom of God. And Father, you told us to pray like crazy, to keep on coming to you and saying, God, more of your kingdom come. And God, we know that means right now, in the here and now, the way that we live our life, the way that we serve other people, the way that we bring to them this message of hope that you have given us and that we are sharing it with them and that we are investing. And so, Jesus, we pray that we will own this responsibility, that every Christ follower that calls Hope Church their home church, that they would own it. God, that we would be so kingdom-minded, that it would change our whole perspective about our 75 or 85 years of life here on this earth. So, Father, please, do that work in us. I need a change of heart. Change me, I pray. And change us as a church. Thank you for what you're going to do. And God, if there's somebody here that hasn't been overwhelmed by your love, God, let them reach out to you. Let them call upon your name and just overwhelm them with your love. We pray this, Jesus, in your powerful name. In Jesus' name.